You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, December 17th. Right now, it's 3:22 in the morning. So, I want to talk to you guys about three things today. First, I want to talk to you about yesterday's game. I would say last night, but it was yesterday. The Sixers defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers 128-105. So I want to talk about that a little bit. In the second segment, you know, I mean, I want to talk about the upcoming matchup with the San Antonio Spurs. And then in the third segment, I'm going to just give you all a little bit about what it's like for beat writers to travel on back-to-backs. You know, this is, today is going to be the second day of a back-to-back. Reason why I'm up so early is because I have to fly to San Antonio. I'll hopefully get there by noon today. But, you know, so it could be a little crazy. But, and that's also why I'm up so early in the morning, because I got to hurry up and get out of here and head to the airport. I'm kind of anal when it comes to getting to the airport early. But let's talk about last night's win first. You know, the Sixers improved to 20-11 after last night's victory. Yesterday's victory, rather. The game was at 3:30. It was a game where, you know, Ben Simmons was the superstar. You know, Ben had, he recorded a triple-double. He had 22 points on 9 for 15 shooting and game highs of 11 rebounds and 14 assists in only 31 minutes. Joel Embiid had a game high of 24 points on 10 for 16 shooting and 9 rebounds in 29 minutes. It also was the return of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler finished with 19 points on 6 of 10 shooting. He went 3 for 4 on threes. He made 4 or 5 foul shots. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, and he blocked a shot, right? Landry Shamet was the man, too. I mean, he had a heck of a game. He went 6 for 7, 4 for 5 on threes for 16 points. Now, if there was a negative, you could say he was a minus 6, which was the worst of all the Sixers. He was actually, it was only two players who recorded a minus. It was him for the Sixers, two players for the Sixers, Landry Shamet and TJ McConnell. Now, the thing about Shamet is, like I said, he went 6 for 7. He was 6 for 6 shooting going up until his final shot, which was, I believe, like 120 left in the game, a little less than that. So he had a phenomenal game on the offensive end. You know, last night, when I got back to the hotel, I was like, whoa, maybe this win didn't really show us anything. I mean, because, you know, I was thinking, like, the Sixers were coming off of two losses. You know, they lost to Indiana, they lost to the Indiana Pacers, which, you know, wasn't a good performance by him at all. And then they lost, before that, they lost to the Brooklyn Nets. Spencer did what he had, 39 points in that game. So, you know, they were without Jimmy Butler, but then you see him come out today, and you see them, yesterday rather, you see them win by 23 points. And you say to yourself, like, wow, okay, they're getting stuff back together. But then you have to remind yourself, this is a Cleveland Cavalier team that lost 23 games. They're 7-23, right? And then you have to say to yourself, you're like, wow, LeBron James is gone from that team. And let's face it, LeBron James is the reason that they went to the championship last year. I mean, he carried that team. not only is LeBron James going, it's, you know, J.R. Smith has left the team for personal reasons until they trade him. He doesn't want to be there. You know, he was the starting two guard. So then you see Tristan Thompson is out with a sprained foot. And Kevin Love is out with left foot surgery. So, you know, you're saying like, how much did we really learn from this win? I mean, this is a good win. But at the end of the day, it wasn't exactly a win where you say, the Sixers are back. The Sixers are ready. We'll learn more about that tonight when the 76ers play the Spurs in San Antonio. But, you know, this was a game that the Sixers should have won by a lot, and they did. This was a game that, when you look at it, you really wanted to pay attention to what Jimmy Butler did, you know, and you want to see, you know, how he runs up and down the floor, you know, little things. You know, you want to see if he can cut, because he had a groin strain that sidelined him the other two. Now, Brett Brown, the head coach of the Sixers, said that Jimmy Butler possibly could have played Friday night. But, you know, it was one of those things where they just really didn't need him to, and they wanted to make sure he was 100%. And Jimmy looked well. He looked good. You know, this is what Brett Brown said about him. He said, you know, I thought he looked good. He had a big three in the corner that was sort of a funny stage of the game. And it was. It was like he hit a three-pointer. He was wide open. Ben Simmons passed it to him. That three gave the Sixers a 49-48 lead in the second quarter. It was you know, it was like their first lead, you know, in a while. But it was a huge three. You know, going back to Brett said, I thought in general, just his physicality, him being on the court, he's such a large personality. There's sort of a spiritual side outside of just his physical presence and his talents. There's sort of a spirit that brings to our group that is hard to measure. Well, I think they missed a quote, that he brings to our group that is hard to measure. And it's true. You know, Butler is kind of like the quiet leader. Now, I'm not going to say quiet because he does talk to the guys. But when he's on the floor, you know, it's like just his presence, you know, sticks out. I mean, his presence alone, he doesn't have to go out and demand the ball. He doesn't have to take over early on or anything like that. It's just that him being out there makes the 76ers a better team. And also, it's one of those things where, you know, Ben Simmons is able to get easier shots. Joel Embiid, teams aren't doubling him as often as they do when he's not there. And the reason being is because, you know, Jimmy, you have to always keep a guy on him, even though we noticed and we've seen the trend. It was like this last night or yesterday where he does not demand the ball. He doesn't try to shoot the ball in the first quarter. It's just that he's in the flow of the games. You know, he didn't attempt a shot at all in the first quarter. All he had was one rebound. It was a defensive rebound. But once the second quarter came is when he started to pick up his game. He scored 7 points in the second quarter. You know, he had that huge three that I talked about. You know, so just his presence alone. I mean, you look at this game also. You know, the Sixers had 9 block shots. Mike Muscala, you know, had 3 of them. And you're saying to yourself, I thought Mike Muscala wasn't a three-point. I thought he wasn't a shot blocker. You know, here he is coming out here, and he had 3 of them, 3 of the 9 on the team. You know, Embiid had 1. Wilson Chandler had 2. Landry Shamet had 1. You know, Jimmy Butler had 1. So, you know, you look at stuff like that, I mean, you also see where the Sixers shot a season best 56% from the field. They were 51-91. But again, we really won't learn too much about the Sixers' improvement until they play tonight. I'm sorry. I mean, I know this was a good win. It was a good morale boost. But we really won't learn too much about the Sixers' win until they play tonight. But look, y'all, here's my thing. You know, I think that if you're in regards to advertising and you want to advertise for this podcast, like I said, if your company is interested in advertising in men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Sixers is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at kepompey@yahoo.com to find out about, sponsoring this podcast. All right, y'all. So look, here's the thing. You know, like I said in the last segment, I'm really looking forward to tonight's game. And, you know, the Spurs, this isn't the normal Spurs team. Yes, the Spurs had some struggles. You know, they lost a couple of days ago to the Chicago Bulls, 98-93. You can't lose to the Bulls. But I might add that before that loss, they had a four-game winning streak, actually. They defeated the Lakers 133-120, good win. The Utah Jazz 110-97. The Phoenix Suns 111-86. And the LA Clippers, they crushed the Clippers 125-87. So, you know, they had three great wins. The Suns, I don't get up for the Suns. But, hey, they have three great wins, and then they beat the Suns. So they had a four-game winning streak. And then they go to Chicago, or they play Chicago at home, and they lose, right? All right. But, I mean, when you look at, they're going to have LaMarcus Aldridge, a skilled big, basically playing center, right? They have Derek White, a wing. Rudy Gay playing the power forward position, right? Then they have DeMar DeRozan, you know, at the two guard, and Brian Forbes running the point. So, you know, right now you're looking at it, you know, the roster is starting lineup as is more formidable than the one that the Sixers faced yesterday. And then our guy, you know, you got Marco Bellinelli, a guy who was on the team last year with the Sixers. You know, he's coming off the bench, and, you know, he's going to provide, you know, the three-point shooting that he's known for. But the matchup that I'm really interested in is Aldridge against Embiid. You know, Aldridge is a guy who is a skilled four big. He's averaging 18 points. 18.8 to be exact, 9.6 rebounds, 2.1 assists, 1.7 block shots, and he's shooting 47.7 from the field. You know, I mean, he's 19th in the league in the rebounding, and which leads both San Antonio in the rebounding category and in block shots. He recorded 21 points and 19, you know, boards, you know, in the season opener against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he started off strong since the beginning. He's had 11 double-doubles. In his last game, he had 29 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block, and 37 points. Now, DeMar DeRozan, you know, DeMar, you know, as we all know, DeMar, they received him in the trade from Toronto the trade that sent Kawhi Leonard to Toronto. But DeMar DeRozan is having another heck of a season, quality season. He's averaging 23.6 points, 5.5 rebounds, 6.1 assists, right? He's shooting 47.3% on threes. Now, DeMar isn't exactly one of these new wave analytics type guys where you're talking about shooting threes. I mean, he struggles from the three-point line, or he just basically doesn't shoot it a lot. But right now, he's shooting 16.2%. Yeah, 16.2. But hey, this guy doesn't really utilize the three as people, would think, as most guards do. But his mid-range game is pretty good. Now, his season best 36 points came against Portland on December the 2nd. He scored 15 straight games in the third quarter of that game. Another player I think that people need to pay attention to is Rudy Gay at the power forward spot. I mean, Rudy Gay, 6'8", 230, averaging 14 points, 6.8 rebounds, 2.2 assists. He's shooting 47.8% on threes and 52% on the field. I still can't get over it. The guy is shooting 47.8% on threes. That ranks fifth in the NBA right now. This past game, he had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block in 27 minutes. So, right here, these are the three guys who the 76ers really need to pay close attention to. Again, I'm looking forward to this game just because of the Cleveland game. While I said before, it was about Jimmy Butler's returning. Ben Simmons did have a triple-double. The team shot a season-high 56%. But when you look at it, this was the equivalent of, I'm not going to say a G League team, but Cleveland was the equivalent of, I don't know, it just looked like a bunch of backups. That's what it was. It was a team with a rookie in Colin Sexton. Then you had Rodney Hood. You have Alex Burks. But for the most part, it just didn't. It didn't get me moving. I mean, it didn't do anything for me. And especially when you see a guy like Alex Burks, who was arguably the worst player on the floor, shooting 2 for 10, for 5 points. He was minus 28. He went 1 for 4 on threes. He didn't do anything. Now, again, he was paired up against Jimmy Butler, but you get my drift. He just didn't really show up. So that game didn't show me anything. Tonight's game will. Again, the Spurs aren't the typical San Antonio team. A team that's like one of the top three or four in the East. Right now they have 15-15 squad. I just still like to see what the Sixers are going to do. When we get back, we're going to talk about what I call is the dreadful back-to-back day. Okay, y'all. So, look, if you're asking why am I up so early, I typically do get up early, but I maybe get up around 4 o'clock just so I could go to the gym and work out. But I got up early this morning because, I have to get to San Antonio. My flight is at 6:30. So I'll fly to Dallas, right? So I'm going to get to go to the airport, leave here and go to the airport, fly to Dallas. I believe I'm going to get there at 9 o'clock Dallas time. I'll have an hour layover. And then, hour and a half layover. I get to, at 10:30. And then my plane will land at noon in San Antonio. So what I'll do is I'll get there at noon. I'll check into the hotel. I'll try to get a workout in real quick, come back and maybe, you know, take a shower, of course, and then just take a quick nap and then head over to the arena. So today is going to be a crazy day, and I think I'm already tired feeling it. But because, you know, last night it was one of those things where you say to yourself, man, you're going to get back to the room, you're going to go to sleep, and then you see the Eagles playing, and you're like, all right, Pompey, you stay up a little bit longer. Stay up until after this quarter. And then, okay, stay up until halftime. Okay, all right. Okay, third, you know, halftime, Eagles are, you know, doing okay. Third quarter comes, and you watch it, and then at the end of the third quarter, I kind of had to force myself to go to bed. But, and then you get up, and you know, take a shower, do what you have to do, and now I'm here doing this podcast, and looking at the clock, and saying to myself, brother, you better hurry up and finish this thing and get on the road. So that's what I'm about to do. But hey, y'all, I wanted to thank you for listening and pay close attention to tonight's game. I want to see, you know, I want to see what Joel Embiid can do, you know, against LaMarcus Aldridge. That's going to be the key matchup to me for tonight's game. Marco Bellinelli, I want to, you know, see him. I want to talk to him pregame, you know, just see, you know, where his head is at, if he's over, you know, the Sixers, because he had a great run with the Sixers. I know that, you know, he signed a free agent deal, or not signed it, but he committed like less than, 30 minutes into the free agency period on July 1. So, you know, San Antonio was on his mind. This is his second stint here, but he had a great time for the Sixers, and the Sixers really, really, really miss him. So, you know, I want to ask him a couple questions about that. But hey, y'all, I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.